It's Friday!
Okay! Tokyo!
South America!
Australia!
France!
Germany!
UK!
America!
Here we go! Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go. Off and running on this seventh day of July, 2023. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, madcap, multimedia extravaganza. That is The Horn chat room in the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. All time zones in between, and the great globe round, and whatever time it happens to be when you're listening to the podcast. And if, in fact, you're listening to the podcast, I thank you, the community thanks you, the community welcomes you into our little interactive space. And hope you have a wonderful time. And if you would, please, if you're listening to the podcast, please like it and subscribe to it. And follow it and comment on it and share it with your friends and neighbors. But if you're listening live, well, pop on into the chat room where, you'll be greeted by the early arrivers, Anatole and Brendan and Doxy Mom and Matt in San Francisco and Squeaky and Theo. Amen, Matt. Yay, it's Friday, you bastards. It is indeed. I rather need for it to be Friday. This is a Friday that's been a long time coming. And there's a bit of a program note here. Last night, and, you know, when I went to do the upload, depending on how one makes the date for July the 6th, it's either 7-6 or 6-7 if you're feeling European or anywhere but America. And the first time through, I screwed up the Podbean upload. And I probably also screwed up the White Rose upload, so for good measure, because once I found out, I was like, I'll go do it in the morning because I was already in bed. But then I got up and I went and, because it was just gnawing on me, I went and undid it, deleted everything, re-uplit it. Thought everything was good. 6th of July. And now I've got a note from Randy Radar telling me that I still uploaded June the 6th. And I just saw that before airtime. Brother Deacon, if you're listening, did I do that again? Did I upload June the 6th twice? Because if I did, then the third time's got to be the charm. But I feel like a real dum-dum if I did. Anyway, every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude. This program is no different. So we say thank yous to our seventh day of the month, PayPal subscribers. And that means thanks ever so to Elizabeth. Thank you, Elizabeth. And thanks as well to... Wait a minute. I got that wrong. Yeah, thank you, Elizabeth. Elizabeth is our only subscriber for the seventh day of the month. Elizabeth needs some subscription company. If anyone would like to, the subscription button is there at headon.live. It's just a little box you check off on the PayPal interface that says, make this a recurring donation. And we do. A lot of people have dropped away. For various reasons, not all of which are,
I hate you.
Well, I hope that's not the case. Stephen New York says, to paraphrase Casey Stengel, you screwed up the upload so bad nobody can upload it right. I hope that's not the case. I just, hold on here. I'm not going to be happy until I know this for sure. That, well, they didn't have anything but whitewash, and they got some enslaved people to... No, that's last night's program. God, I hate her voice. I'm with the rest of y'all. No, that's last night's program, Randy Radar. At any rate. So, another program-ish note. Shouldn't affect more in Monday. But I'm on the road again this weekend. We're slowly getting Ferg moved down, Ferg and his beloved and the children, moved down to Tennessee, and doing it one trip at a time in a four-door Ford sedan is not the easy way to do it. So I'm gone this weekend, and simply put, I say that because the fundraising goal to close the week and be fully funded is $800. And frankly, we need a little community-made miracle so that I don't wind up stranded by the side of the road. Unable to buy gas or whatever. We'll leave early in the morning and come home Monday morning and hopefully get a lot of stuff done. But yeah, the fundraising goal is at $800. Thank you, Brother Deacon. Yeah, it's the program for July 6th. You should see how he spells that. It also resides on White Rose. Bless your heart. So we know that Podbean's right, and we know that White Rose is right. So yay. Thanks, Ralphs. Podbean shows July 6th. Subject line, blonde, Matt in San Francisco says, as long as you don't have whiteout on your computer screen, you're winning. P.S. I love June 6th. thank you, Matt. I remember that joke, actually. Then there's the other one about the one blonde that's driving by on a highway out in the country, and she sees another blonde out in the middle of a field in a canoe. Rowing. Paddling. And the first blonde stops the car and gets out. And I mean, I'm a blonde, so I can tell these jokes now. And yells out into the field, hey! You idiot! What are you doing out there paddling a canoe in the middle of a field? That's not even a lake! And the blonde out in the middle of the field says, oh, you feel so sure about it, why don't you just come out here? Kick my ass. And the blonde by the side of the road said, by God, if I could swim, I would. Yeah. No whiteout on the screen. Thank you, Matt. Thank you. And let's see. Thank you for this, David. On the White Rose Society upload for May 23rd, 2023, at the 1:48:45 mark, just maybe Scott's final call into the horn. Tracy calls in 2:28:27 mark, giving you a hard time about raisins, but Scott remains until the end of the show. I've listened to most every show since finding you back in 2006. I love you, Robin, and the show. Thank you for being there. You helped me make it through my 8 p.m. to 7 a.m. graveyard shift in Wisconsin. Oh, thank you, David. Thank you so much. That means the world to me. And I remember that exchange, but I swear, I think Scott called in one more time because it was just him and me. I could be wrong, but I feel like he did. And Kenda writes in, J6 Truth and Light Freedom Festival in Rogersville, Missouri. Oh, no. This is happening about 15 miles southwest of us, maybe 15 miles southeast of Springfield, Missouri. One of West Virginia's finest is included in listed attendees and speakers. George Tanios, who also is scheduled to speak, was charged in March 2021 with providing pepper spray to Julian Cotter, who used it to assault three police officers. One of the officers was Brian Sicknick, who was injured during the riot, collapsed later that day, and died the following day of natural causes. As long as we're into proximity, it would be maybe 15 miles from the Church of the Regrown Toe, the James River Church, Ozark, Missouri. Oh, dear. So, yes, they're having a Clavering rally in southwest Missouri this weekend. And as Kenda pointed out, the J6 Truth and Light Freedom Festival. It's getting started today in Rogersville, and it'll run through Sunday. They're saying it's going to be an amazing weekend of love and support for our J6 community. Bring your RV, tent, lawn chairs, and the whole family for this annual gathering of the Jan 6 community. Over at the Institute for Research and Education on Human Rights, Chuck Tanner said, these events are really important to watch. You see at them the contours of a movement. That was an odd construction. Stretching from the halls of government to far-right publications and groups, and a movement that continues to frame January 6th insurrectionists as martyrs and build out a framework for another far-right nationalist insurrection. It may be only for J6ers and their families, but it's going to cost them $150 for a Rube family for three-day pass and $75 for one person. You can get a day pass for $37.50. Any J6 defendant previously or currently under indictment is absolutely free. All funds go right back to the J6 community, and if you believe that, we have a bridge in Brooklyn to sell you. And the sponsors, StopHate.com, J6Truth.org, and American Gulag Chronicles. What? Where's Prison Planet? J6 Patriot News, Patriot Mail Project, Tommy Tatum News, Freedom Express Media, Mel Hawley of Justice in Jeopardy, and Patriots at Large. I don't know, is Patriots at Large affiliated with Meal Team 6? I mean, large. Steve in New York, is it called the Benedict Arnold Annual Festival? A Oh, Where's the Hillbilly? Oh, Mickey Whitheff, the mother of Ashley Babbitt, the dipshit dumbass who got herself killed there, will be speaking. And it was George Tanios who was the hillbilly. He did 5 months in jail. Got a slap on the wrist for his aiding and abetting. Well, Kenda, all I can tell you is stay the hell away. I don't think I need to tell you that, but still, it's a good idea. And I honestly, I'm not sure. I'm guessing, and Kenda can tell me, I'm guessing that that part of Missouri is pretty maggoty. But there are bound to still be some decent people. And I feel for them having their the place where they live invaded. So that's just a couple of starting places. And thank you so much to Dave and the Blind. Here's some gas money. Thank you muchly. That gets us down to $7.75 to go to finish the week. Really appreciate it, Dave. So very much. I've got an internet from Joey here. Oh, and let me just address this real quick. Several people have asked me. No, I've looked for Scott's obit. A number of y'all have looked for his obit. Annette, who is really quite good at digging deep and finding things, nothing. And maybe that's what the family decided they wanted. I don't know. I wish there was one, because it's sort of like something that Joy in Ann Arbor told me. She said, finding out the particulars somehow provides a little bit of closure, and I understand that. Joy went on and said, last night's podcast, and at this point we're talking about Wednesday nights. Last night's podcast wore me out. I immediately thought of Scott's birthday because I'm a birthday person. I knew he's a Gemini, and I was struck that he passed only 3 days before his birthday. He always had a drink or something special for his birthday. Your weeping wrecked me. Hearing you learn about it wrecked me. The whole thing is wrong. How long was he there till they found him? Please don't let it be long. I've heard 3 dark hospital things from friends and family tonight. It's a trend. And if it does turn out that way, when he went, Joy argued, noted, he passed on Dump's fucking arraignment day for espionage, probably from sheer joy. Cheers to you, Scott. And Joy added, can Asa figure out the last phone call? I know it wasn't long before June 13th, but I still want to know how long he was gone before he was found. I can't imagine him taking his life. He seemed to have a strong will to live after the brain surgery episode, but stranger things have happened. He had health issues. I wish there were an obituary. I take a measure of satisfaction with them. It makes it real for me. I understand, Joy. I really, really do. And in fact, our dear friend Kim in New York City wrote in after the program last night. She said, after learning about Scott's death this evening, I decided to listen to July 4th's podcast. Hearing your real-time reaction to learning about Scott was so incredibly heartbreaking. It's such a testament to you and Scott and to how meaningful and important the horn in your program is. Thank you for being you and for giving us the opportunity to get to know Scott, if only for a relatively brief time. And that touched me so deeply. But the bottom line is that in this little ongoing experiment that we have here, I'm forever learning about our community. And what I've learned in the last 3 days has been that this community really is a community. I never really doubted it, but to see it coalesce around someone, well, in its sadness, it was beautiful. And Scott would be glad to know how loved he was. And so I thank all of you. There's Scary Jerry with a note. And sent me a picture of tropical pizza cubana, handmade, hecho a mano. Never knew about that before, but Scary Jerry says, Café con Scott. I'm drinking Cuban-style coffee, leche up, and also some micro chocolate chip cookies. I started drinking coffee because, A, I love coffee. B, it was a Scott thing. It's Pavlovian at this point. I started a remote job this month, and wow, modern smartphones are as good as anything I used to have at the office, and working remotely, oddly, is starting to click, always on the fourth of the hottest days ever. Anyways, on the fourth of the hottest days ever, high-speed rails linking blue areas and Cuban pizza. Orlando available now. While final preparations are being made for the grand opening, tickets between South Florida and Orlando, and at first I thought that University of Orlando, University of South Florida, are we talking about football here? No. No, two-a-days haven't even started. It's not August. Are now on sale for late summer through early 2024. Book now for September 1st and later, and once we announce our opening date, additional ticket inventory will be released. Be sure to sign up for our emails to be the first to know when our inaugural rides will go on sale. High-speed rail. I'll be darned. So what, Orlando to Miami, Jerry? Well, that's a ride I'll never take. And I am still curious, based on the little conversation with Darlene toward the end of the program yesterday, I'm curious to see if maybe the Biden administration will sue Monkey Up DeKlantis and the State Department of Highway Safety or whatever the hell they call it. Yeah. Over this business of not respecting driver's licenses from other states. It may seem like a tiny thing, but it isn't. Because it is an act of, and this is an important word in American history, it's an act of nullification. It is Florida acting to nullify the legal governmental acts of another state. And so one hopes, and you know, being as how this is the same Biden administration that gets a bridge, excuse me, Got him. This is the same Biden administration that managed to rebuild a highway overpass bridge in Philadelphia in a month's time that would have taken the Trump administration probably an entire presidential term. Remember, Infrastructure Week. Anybody? I do. I'm hoping the DOJ is equally competent, because that really is the snowflake that can start the avalanche rolling. And what if another state gets a wild hair up their ass and decides that they want to do the same or something somewhat different? I mean, Greg Aspott down in Texas and Dan Patrick, the lieutenant governor, and the currently suspended Attorney General of Texas, Ken Paxton, who is still under indictment and hasn't been tried for felonies. Well, I'm sure Aspott is beside himself, and so is Dan Patrick, and so is Ken Paxton, absolutely pissed off that Florida thought about nullifying driver's licenses from other states before they did. Because, you know, Texas. Leche up, asks Emilio, or leche up AF? Oh, definitely AF. But no, if it's leche up AF, that means you can barely taste the coffee. Lee in New York says, Florida wants nullification. I say we nullify the Florida government. I say we send in the troops. Time for Reconstruction 2.0 for Ron Monkey up DeClantis and the state of Florida. As to Scott's obit, Stephen New York said, maybe this is morbid or corny, but I was looking for an obit because he deserves to have an objective and permanent record that he was here. That's Steve's lawyer brain. I understand exactly what he's saying, and that's exactly what that is. Now, we have an internet from Joey and the guys. Shed some light. On this day, the 7th day of July, in 1865, this is relevant, 4 people were hanged in the conspiracy involving, good for you, Joey, saying hanged and not hung. It makes my little English major heart so damn happy. Hanged in the conspiracy involving the assassination of President Lincoln. The real conspiracy may well never be uncovered, considering the 4 on trial were denied their Fifth Amendment rights. And as far as the Fifth Amendment, I imagine a little girl kangaroo is going to... This trial was the ultimate kangaroo court of all time. There was no grand jury indictment of which the Constitution guarantees. There was no jury in which the Constitution promises. The Constitution speaks at least twice of the importance of juries. The accused only had legal counsel 3 days before the trial instead of maybe 3 years, as in the case of some trials. The accused were not permitted to testify on their own behalf. Half. All citizens have the fundamental right to defend themselves, but not in this trial. A guilty verdict was based on a standard of 5 out of 9, even though the Constitution states it must be unanimous. By all means, this was the ultimate kangaroo court. And Giraffe agrees. By the way, one of those hanged was a woman. And by the way, well, let's let Giraffe get into this.
Well, we will likely never know the real conspiracy behind the assassination of Lincoln. However, by all appearances, government officials wanted these 4 people dead so the real truth would never be rendered. Mary Surratt, the first woman ever executed in America, obviously knew of the assassination plot, but she did not deserve to be hanged.
Actually, Giraffe, she didn't. This whole affair fascinates me, and in fact, if you are in Chinatown in D.C., there's a little Chinese restaurant. I think it's called the Wok and Roll, maybe. and that is Mary Surratt's boarding house. She was from Maryland, and her people were decidedly secessionist. But there was never any evidence put forward that she actually knew about the assassination plot. And the fact is, the assassination plot wasn't even hatched while the conspirators were staying in her boarding house. The plot that was hatched in the boarding house was a plot to kidnap Abraham Lincoln and hold him for ransom. The ransom being the withdrawal of Union troops from Confederate states. Giraffe says, had she been allowed to testify along with Lewis Powell, George Atzerodt, and David Harold, the depth of the conspiracy may have surfaced. I really believe we the people would have discovered that this plot went much deeper than surface level. Considering the manner in which the trial was handled would only lead any logically thinking or reasonable person to believe the government was involved in a deep cover-up. No, it was the American military. July 7th was a very hot, miserable day in Washington, D.C., with temperatures over 100 degrees. However, the cover-up in this case was white-hot with suspicious perfidy and clandestine actions and motive. Oh, God. Junior's here.
Yeah, they should have executed Mary Surratt's son, John Surratt, for his involvement, but instead of hanging him, his jury ended up being hung. Why did they hang the jury and not this John Surratt character? Those poor jurors, no wonder nobody wants to get hung up in a jury today. I need somebody to shed some light on this one. Which reminds me, what do you call a changed gender person who can shed some light on matters? They are called a translucent.
Well, I would agree, Junior. John Surratt Jr.'s case was quite peculiar indeed.
Translucent. The llama is dead. And Junior, you're a very bad boy with bad hair. That's a line from Ted Lasso. Well, thank you guys so much. However, speaking of people actually allowed to testify on this day in July 7th, 1987, Colonel Ollie North testified in a Senate hearing that he was here today to tell the truth and stated that he did nothing without the orders of his superiors. However, North was convicted of obstructing Congress, altering and destroying government documents, and taking an illegal gratuity. Yes, and that he had with him a pettifogger, Brendan Sullivan. Do I recall that correctly? Because I was working at CNN at that time, I think. And I remember watching the testimony avidly, Ollie showing up in his Marine officer's uniform, and Brendan Sullivan, who barked back at the Senate panel and said, "I am not a potted plant." And that became his legacy. Let me go back to Mary Surratt for a second, because this is important. The one thing neither Joey nor Giraffe mentioned was that the Supreme Court of the United States, I love this, Steve, the Supreme Court of the United States issued an injunction against the military hanging Mary Surratt. And the United States Army hanged her anyway, because the United States Supreme Court was powerless to enforce its orders, as it so remains. That was one of those moments where the Tinkerbell theory of the Constitution utterly failed, and we had a constitutional crisis, and they killed Mary Surratt. Just a little food for thought. Ironically, Joey says, 107 years later, a man by the same name, Lewis Powell, became a Supreme Court justice, and his 15-year tenure on the court ended in 1987. Lewis F. Powell had his own version of the Powell Doctrine, which basically was a blueprint to shit all over the working class. The F in Lewis Powell's middle name stood for a big fuck you to the middle class, not to be confused with the Colin Powell Doctrine, which was a prudent approach on how to and when to enter a potential military conflict. Giraffe explains. Well, the Lewis Powell memo was a blueprint for corporate domination of American democracy, translated that would be called fascism. And I will add editorially that the Powell memo, template that it was, continues to reach its dead hand into our lives to this day. The reason you have the Heritage Foundation and the Cato Institute and all of these dark money right-wing funded chop shops stems from Lewis Powell's call for American corporations to fund these things. Because Lewis Powell understood that those organizations would be able to better shape American attitudes and get the American people to, here's that phrase again, vote against their own interests. And it has been wildly successful. So, thank you, Giraffe. One of the results of Lewis F. Powell's doctrine was that the Sherman antitrust laws would not be enforced. The Sherman Act was put in place in attempts to stave off monopolies forming. One area specifically that was near and dear to my heart was AM radio. When I was growing up, I used to love to listen to 50,000-watt stations from all over the country in the evening. It's called the Skywave. Haley in Arkansas knows all about that. This was so much fun, being able to hear such talented broadcasters up and down the East Coast and Midwest on my radio. Most of the radio presentations were not politically charged. However, in 1996, the Telecommunications Act, signed into law by Bill Clinton, put an end to all of that. Yes, Bill Clinton, the best Republican president Democratic votes could buy, signed legislation that allowed basically two companies, Clear Channel and Cumulus, to buy up all these stations and play right-wing political propaganda 24 hours a day. So many wonderful broadcasters soon were out of a job, including our wonderful Scotty, whom we just lost, and whom Joey got to meet. It was so sad to hear about the passing of Scott yesterday on the show. I immediately thought of September 10th, 2019, when Scott, Billable Rick, Tamara, and I all had the chance to meet in San Diego. We called the show, and all of us had a wonderful time together that evening in California. I felt so lucky to be able to meet Scott in person after hearing his wonderful contributions on the show. Scott gave me something that night that I have kept to this day and still have in a Ziploc bag that he presented to me. In the bag were the feathers of his bird that used to chirp in the background during Scott's phone calls to Robin. Punky. Scott's birdie died, and I felt honored that he gave me those feathers as a keepsake. Scott also gave me something else, and that was encouragement. He told me that he really liked my journals because they were informative and fun, and he had wished somebody would have done something similar on one of his shows when he was on the radio. Scott Marinoff was a real talent, and his voice died long before he did when this stupid fascist Telecommunications Act was signed into legislation. And Giraffe has some thoughts.
I also remember that many of these AM radio stations were bought up by Salem Radio, which is a religious radio conglomerate, and some wonderful stations were lost to religion. Bye-bye, Miss American Pie. The Telecommunications Act helped kill good AM radio as well. This would be the day that radio died, yes, bye-bye, American Pie, and hello to American Pius.
Well, that's quality. Thank you, Giraffe. Goodbye, Scotty. Well, loved you and your contributions. You will never be forgotten. When you went into the light, I hope everything was translucent and that there was a microphone waiting for you. Get Don on the phone. This has been Joey's Journal for a Friday on the Front Porch, the 7th day of July, 2023, with Giraffe looking up to Scotty literally and figuratively. And there is a $20 translucent challenge on the table. So that would get us down to 7:35 to finish the week, which would be fantastic.
really need to close that gap, if at all humanly possible, because, well, this move is not going to be easy or cheap. And a U-Haul is out of the question. Thank you for that journal, Joey, and thank you for the challenge. Ken up in Northwest PA says, Scott's last appearance, since I listened in arrears, I have Scott on the front porch on 526. It was after that. I'm almost certain there was a standalone call that was just Scott and me. Of the four hangees, Steve says, if they were all Southern, why would there be guarantees of constitutional rights? Well, I mean, that goes to, that echoed down the decades and the century to the question of, do people that we have stuffed in a concentration camp in Guantanamo Bay that we kidnapped in Afghanistan have constitutional rights? And they did. All constitutional rights are not merely for citizens. Under Miranda, an undocumented immigrant accused of a crime has the same Fifth Amendment rights as a citizen. And following up on the Lincoln conspiracy, Theo, the Lincoln conspirators. Hey, Robin. Hey, Theo. Based on an account which I read decades ago, Theodore Roosevelt, who was a friend of Robert Lincoln's, came upon him burning his father's letters in his fireplace one evening. Roosevelt asked him why he was burning letters which could be of great historical value. Robert Lincoln answered, it would serve no purpose to make them public. They have to do with a man who was involved in my father's death, a member of his cabinet. Bear in mind that T.R. claimed to speak with old Abe's ghost frequently during his own presidency. I remember some mention of that. Of course, William H. Seward was also attacked on the same day, that same night that Lincoln was assassinated. He was nearly killed, but he was saved. Oh, goodness, who am I thinking of? I'm going to have to check here. And, of course, Doris Kearns Goodwin, the historian, made famous the term that Lincoln sought to put together, a team of rivals. Salmon P. Chase was the, well, hold on. Montgomery Blair was Post Office General, Postmaster General. Interior Secretary was Caleb B. Smith. Secretary of the Treasury was Salmon P. Chase. Secretary of State was William H. Seward. Secretary of War was Simon Cameron. Attorney General Edwin Bates. Secretary of the Navy, Gideon Welles. Edwin Stanton is the one I was thinking of. He was a Lincoln rival and opposed to Lincoln's candidacy. He was Secretary of War throughout the Civil War, Edwin Stanton was. That may have been the person who was involved in the... And that may be... That may be the conspiracy. Of course, Salmon P. Chase was no peach either. Chase Bank is named in part after him. He was not a wealthy man. But in order to finance the Civil War, the United States discovered debt. And Salmon P. Chase was instrumental in getting some up east investors to buy federal debt that allowed the United States to win the war. So there's that. Now, and this is one that may be and what may well be good for the back porch conversation or front porch conversation. There was a sentencing today. It was the sentencing for Patrick Cruzius. He murdered 23 people when he attacked a Walmart in El Paso, Texas. That was August the 3rd, 2019. So almost fully four years to achieve justice. He got 90 consecutive life sentences. On charges in the state of Texas. And maybe we can, we've had a couple of these incidents of late. Let's play Am I a Hypocrite with Robin Kincaid. Patrick Cruzius is, not was, but is a white nationalist. He's a fascist. He's a monster. And he negotiated a plea deal, his pettifoggers negotiated a plea deal that resulted in those 90 consecutive life sentences. Texas is notoriously fond of the death penalty. They especially like the death penalty when they can impose it on black or brown people. One wonders, and I am an opponent of the death penalty, let's be clear. I see no point in eye for an eye retributive justice. But I cannot help but wonder why the prosecutor in this case did not put his foot down and say, oh, no, 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 no. No, we're going to try the little bastard for everything he did. I don't care if it takes a year. And once we are done and once we have a guilty verdict, we are going to kill him. Again, I feel a bit like a hypocrite. I hope I can be forgiven for that. I'm not saying I wanted him executed. I'm simply wondering why the white guy wasn't even in the mix. This guy will never get out of prison. He, being a white nationalist, will naturally align himself with the neo-Nazi factions in the joint because he will need their protection from the Hispanic faction in the joint, which will, of course, want very badly to kill him very dead because Patrick Crozius issued a manifesto before he left to go and go on his murderous rampage. Now, this was a federal trial. Senior U.S. District Judge David C. Guadarrama administered the sentencing. And there were 3 days of testimony by Patrick Crozius's victims talking about the ruination he wreaked upon their world. Patrick Crozius did not address the court. He had the opportunity, remained silent. And in point of fact, drove 700 miles. He had 700 miles in which to consider the wrongness of his actions. Parked in front of the El Paso Walmart on August 3rd, 2019. Got out of his car with a GPWASR-10 semi-automatic rifle. It's a Romanian variant of the AK-47. It was loaded with 7.62 by 39 millimeter hollow point bullets. That's a NATO round. And started murdering people in the parking lot before he went into the store. When he surrendered to authorities, who somehow managed not to blow him away. Oh, the caucasity of it all. He told the cops, yeah, I was targeting Hispanic people. So that Mexicans and other Hispanics would stop coming to the United States. He said, they were to blame. I was trying to defend my country. And it's worth remembering that he got all of these ideas from the then sitting president of the United States squatting in the White House, who began his campaign coming down a tacky-ass escalator babbling about Mexican racists, rapists, rather. And as I said, that was the federal case, and the federal government chose not to execute him or to pursue it. So now the case will be tried in Texas. Federal prosecutors, in fact, took the death penalty off the table. Texas prosecutors, on the other hand, are saying, nope, we're going to kill him. What is curious is whether the United States will give him up for execution if, in fact, that is the case. I had it backwards. It usually doesn't work that way. The monster who shot up Club Q was recently sentenced in Colorado under Colorado law, and the federal government may yet pursue death penalty charges against him. And I ask a simple question. Beyond sheer revenge, simple animal, not even animal, you know, animals don't take revenge. That is something that is exclusive to the human animal. But beyond the concept of revenge, what other reason is there to execute anyone? Costs more to execute them than it does to house them and feed them shitty prison cheese for the rest of their days. What purpose is there? And I do not have a good answer. I can't find a reason other than retribution and revenge for murdering a person in the name of the state. just doesn't seem to be there. So that's the filler obster for this Friday on the front porch. If whomever is running the Skype group would please be so kind . The Marinoff front porch for July the 7th. It would be great if we could connect, if in fact there is anyone. And by the way, Brother Deacon Asa suggests, can we perhaps put together a memorial page for Scott on the HO on the Head On Live website? That'll be a solid and objective record of him having been here. Hell, we have audio clips to back it up. Some of those clips would be an absolute blast. The first night that he dropped the monkey working a math problem on me would almost be cleansing. Be a delight. Looks like it's mighty quiet on the front porch this evening. Brother Deacon Ace is there. Squeaky's there. Are you actually connected, Asa?
I hear Robin there.
Yeah, there's Squeaky. Huh. Maybe a bunch of the room is worn out from Wednesday and that outpouring of grief. I don't know. How are you, Squeaky?
Doing fine. Cool weather before the heat again.
Well, that'll be a break.
About Tuesday, we'll be over 100 again.
Oh dear. Well, we're nearing 80 in the studio here. That's inside the studio. We're south-facing, so sometimes it can be hotter in here than it is outside.
Just a notice. Shortly before Scott left us, he called in early June, and he had a wavering sound in his voice, like he was having trouble breathing. That's one thing I noted.
I remember that. Hey, he had said on a number of calls that he wasn't feeling his best. There was one maybe back in April or May where he said that just didn't feel like he was completely up to speed, but by the end of things, he said, you know, you've made it all better. And that made me feel wonderful.
Do you remember Gene Shepard out of New York?
Oh, gosh, yes.
I loved him listening on the AM radio at night back in the 70s. In the 60s, too. He was just wonderful.
Oh, I have somewhere here a complete compendium provided to me by a member of the Horn Family Community Congregation way back in... Oh, dear God, 2012, of everything that Gene Shepard did. You know, Gene Shepard, of course, for those not fully conversant, it was the genius behind A Christmas Story, which I think the original title was Jesus Saves, But All Others Pay Cash. Do I recall that correctly?
I think I remember that.
That's another thing that Scott loved.
I don't think we're all here yet.
It would be nice if some folks popped in. I'm just getting a message from Brother Deacon Asa.
I'll be back shortly.
Okie doke. That's fine. A couple other things that are bouncing around in the news for the end of the week here. You remember years ago when that meme went around of, "Leave Britney alone"? If I recall correctly, the person who became internet famous for that, I think that person has since transitioned. Well, we have a real "Leave Britney Alone" moment now. Britney was apparently in a facility at a place where an NBA superstar was. Victor Wembanyama. And Britney walked up, and there's video. Britney walked up and wanted to speak to him and, you know, offer some nice compliment. And Victor Wembanyama decked her, clocked her. And then he ran, and then he ran out to a press conference to say that she grabbed him by the shoulder. Well, that's the problem with everybody walking around with movie cameras in their pocket, because there's video of the event. And she just walks up to him and touches him to, you know, offer congratulations or whatever, or, you know, "I really respect you." And she gets slapped and shoved by his entourage. So both the security guard and Victor Wembanyama are apparently liars. Britney said, boy, is this vacuous. "I'm aware of the player's statement where he mentions I grabbed him from behind, but I simply tapped him on the shoulder." Hell, she's so tiny, looks like she didn't even reach his shoulder.
His security then backhanded me in the face without looking back in front of a crowd, nearly knocking me down and causing my glasses to fall off my face. I get swarmed by people all the time. In fact, that night I was swarmed by a group of at least 20 fans. My security team didn't hit any of them. Brittany went on and said, physical violence is happening too much in this world, often behind closed doors. I stand with all the victims, and my heart goes out to all of you. I have yet to get a public apology from the player, his security, or their organization. I hope they will. And good on her, Britney Spears filed a police report with the Las Vegas Police Department and said that it was the the director of team security, Damian Smith, who hit her. But, of course, Las Vegas police said no charges will be filed against the person involved. Of course not. Ah, this country. There was a time where professional athletes were ordinary people. No such luck.
I miss Bat Corp. You know?
Yeah.
He was fantastic.
So, that. There is, since it is Friday and we do some nutty stuff on Friday from time to time, the story of the she's simply being described as a crazy lady. She was on an aircraft that was on the way to Orlando when she had an absolute conniption. Let's see how the audio is with this.
I'm telling you, I'm getting the fuck off, and there's a reason why I'm getting the fuck off, and everyone can either believe it or they cannot believe it. I don't give two fucks, but I am telling you right now, that motherfucker back there is not real. And you can sit on this plane and you can fucking die with them or not. I'm not going to.
Bye.
Bye. So, cowbell for the guy. Bye. And she was total, and she was being a total Karen. She claimed to have seen someone who was not real on the aircraft. This country is going fucking bananas, y'all. And of all the people to have on the plane to witness this, the first stories came out via that world-renowned entertainer, Carrot Top. She was convinced that the passenger sitting next to her wasn't a real person. And like that old saying about oysters, namely, the more you chew, the bigger they get. Well, the more this thing has circulated, I mean, come on. She doesn't sound like she's drunk. I'm not sure.
I'm telling you, I'm getting the fuck off, and there's a reason why I'm getting the fuck off, and everyone can either believe it or they cannot believe it. I don't give two fucks, but I am telling you right now, that motherfucker back there is not real. And you can sit on this plane and you can fucking die with them or not. I'm not going to.
Bye.
Still love the bye.
I don't know what kind of breakdown this is, but the thing is, the more you chew it, the bigger it gets. And so now the weird little world of the internet has decided there may have been something to it. She's frantic and wanted to leave her stuff behind. That's how scared she was. I believe her. And now people are looking, trying to find out who the person was. And so we hear, so no one really got a vid of the person next to her? I don't believe that. There's no way. And then after the flight was slowed, or delayed rather, another flight crew came on. So it was a different group of flight attendants. And then, naturally, because Merca, because we are going bonkers, now people are arguing that the person she was complaining about was, well, here's the quote, I'm also thinking, what if she's the shapeshifter and the real person saw it and turned into her? Ah! Woof! Too damn much. Yeah, what if it was a shapeshifter? What if shapeshifters exist when shapeshifters don't exist? Maybe it was a little bit of that bleed over from the other universe. And so now there's other footage of the potential shapeshifter. And now people are showing videos with superimposed flying saucers outside the plane. I'd really love to have a genuine behavioral health conversation about why we're here. You know, if Scott was around, he'd probably say, well, you know, it all began with the... Well, we started this evening talking about the Lincoln assassination. It all began with... It all began with the Kennedy assassination when we realized we couldn't believe the official narrative anymore. And so there's another video cropped up.
I'm telling you, I'm getting the fuck off.
Different angle.
And there's a reason why I'm getting the fuck off, and everyone can either believe it or they cannot believe it. I don't give two fucks, but I am telling you right now, that motherfucker back there is not real. And you can sit on this plane and you can fucking die with them or not. I'm not going to. I'm telling you.
Nothing really changes. The bye remains the same. I wonder if maybe wherever she was, she got into some edibles or something. I don't know.
She's been way more relaxed.
Really? Really, Ken? She would have been... Yeah, okay. She would have been way more relaxed.
Trust me. Experienced.
Aren't magic mushrooms legal in Oregon? Maybe she was coming from Oregon.
Yeah, well, then they should be legal for those Karens. It's tiring. Oh, God, these people. Oh, I hate them.
I mean, the woman was on the verge of tears. She was freaked out.
Good. I don't know. Maybe I missed some context, and, you know, that's wrong of me to be that way. But, boy, I'm just really tired of these people acting out like little toddlers.
Yeah, and being crummy.
Yeah, don't be a dick. It's really not that hard.
I'd say she's maybe mid to late 30s, tops.
Yeah, we all have been there, like frustrated beyond belief, but you don't take it out on the underpaid staff of some, which she's an airline, I guess. But
yeah,
they're underpaid staff too, so there you go. And there you have it.
And in many instances, people don't understand that flight crew may have had to change out because they crossed the required rest threshold.
Yeah, their people are stretched thin because, you know, the modern day theory of business is to have so few staff and as close as this chattel slavery you can get.
And the comments over on TikTok, which I do not frequent very often.
There are some people who are demons in real life, bro. I believe her.
Something sacred her. I think they meant to spell scared. Something sacred her to the point of panic attack. Prayers to her. Someone please find this girl so we can get her story. She saved everybody in that plane like Final Destination because it was delayed for hours. Who knows? Maybe something was going to happen. And then another person, all in caps, she don't got to tell me twice. Once she started yelling, I would have been standing with her. I'm her. I don't think that was the ranting of a drunk person. She was legit scared. When I try to scream in my dreams and I wake up, that's what her voice here reminds me of. That fear. And then they analyzed her hand motions, because of course they did. And they think she's a flight attendant because of the hand motions, the hand gestures she's using. Oh, God. Our poor country.
I think Theo's trying to get in, so...
I keep seeing these videos. We need to see the reptilian. Oh, God, we're back to our reptile overlords. Matt in San Francisco, mental break. I came home from school one day, and my mother put her hand on my chest and said, "You're not real. You're a drone. What have you done with my son?" Mental illness is a thing. The internet has made it possible for them to find each other and add to the story. Good times. Yeah. Yeah. People break sometimes.
Hey, Robin, can you hear me?
Barely. Is that okay, you, Theo?
I'm here. I cranked the volume.
Okay. I'll crank you up and then... Yeah. What's up?
Good, because I'm cranked to 11 on this point, and I'm making my own ears heard. Anyway, this story interests me because three things are at least three things are at work here. if that airplane was in flight, the cabin is pressurized to 8,000 feet. And that's going to have an effect on your awareness, consciousness. Also, if she'd had anything to drink before the flight, and airlines, from what I'm told these days, are really pushing alcohol at people. Also, if she'd been delayed for any length of time, she's going to be wound up anyway. And if she's on any sort of medication, even some fairly benign ones, throw all those factors in, mix in the certain claustrophobia of being that big metal tube in the sky with wings. And people go bug fuck. And the lowered blood oxygen level is a thing. I've been through that because I went through accidental deoxygenation. Well, it's actually anoxia, which friends and I didn't recognize what we had done, but we were flying at about 11,000 feet over the LA basin, returning to our home base up in the Mojave Desert. And we all felt great. We felt wonderful. It was a gorgeous afternoon. We were seeing the LA basin on a smog-free November afternoon. Gorgeous. And it was really emotional for me because we had flown over the part of the basin where I was born. So I was seeing what had been my childhood home. But as we flew on, I started doing calculations and working on the course because I was navigating us. And I realized the guys were not really paying attention to what I had laid out. And I tried to get their attention, and they said, no, no, it's fine, in a kind of lackadaisical way. And I said, hey, you're not hearing me. And they said, no, it's fine. And I realized that, just to clear my sinuses, I had been doing deep breathing, like yoga breathing.
Yeah.
And I had more oxygen in my bloodstream than they did. And I thought, they're punchy. And we almost ended up running out of fuel because they extended the leg that we were flying, and we were already low, flying into a massive jet wake on the way home didn't help matters or anybody's peace of mind. But looking back at that, I think there are circumstances that are setting all these people off, and there are commonalities there. Whether anybody in the airlines or the FAA or DOT is interested in investigating it, I don't know quite how you do that unless you put them in a hyperbaric chamber, ran them up to altitude when they were slightly snockered, and then saw how they responded. I mean, there could actually be a rational reason behind it.
That's the thing. I think there is a rational reason. But everybody wants to jump to shapeshifters, demons. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. I can't do that because I've had experience flying on airliners where I really hate being back in the passenger section. Back in the cattle car, as it's known. Being out of the cabin, it's frustrating and weird because you don't have that windshield and the view to see, which helps it helps offset the claustrophobia that an airline cabin can induce. Actually, a lot of pilots I've known, have known, still know, we're probably all lucky that we don't look more Middle Eastern or specifically some unpopular ethnicity, because the politely nervous behavior that we all have being out of out of the pilot seat or out of the right-hand seat, I think we'd all get red flagged and possibly put on a no-fly list at some point, just because we're all politely edgy. It could happen.
I don't disagree.
I mean, I'm slightly goofing with you on that, but not by much.
No. Look, I mean, the cautionary tales like Lord of the Flies describe what how dangerous group mob dynamics can become. And then in the real world, there's January 6th. And this is, you know, this is, we live in a country now where 30% or so of the people think the last election was stolen. Some portion of which think JFK Jr. and JFK Sr. are still alive and that Trump is one of them, Theo.
Yeah, I've heard those stories.
And the guy who cooked a bunch of that up died not too long back. And the people who followed his cult are quite certain that the bad one died, but the good one is still around and is actually John F. Kennedy Jr. I mean, this is the kind of stuff, and I mean, I know it's a goofy, stupid story, but
goofy and stupid is unfortunately the way to bet it a lot of times right now.
Well, yeah, I mean, but the money bets that way, right? It's a goofy, stupid story, but it's also indicative of who the hell we are right now.
I know. I'm feeling like more and more of a minority because I don't buy that stuff for a hot set.
And bless his heart, Scott would have loved that story.
I kind of think there's a heightened situation because everybody's a little bit afraid of flying. You know, it's pretty safe and, you know, statistically and blah, blah, blah. But you're already heightened. You've been through security. Travel sucks. You've been through an airport for 6 hours because they got a delay. And the whole system is kind of fucked up. And people are lashing out at the wrong against each other rather than where the fault belongs with the airline industry, any industry, in my opinion.
Well,
anyway, I'll let you have at it. I have things to do that have been delayed by digging holes in my yard.
Trying to catch. Are you hunting moles again, Theo?
No, I'm trying to help my sweetie get tomato plants in place. Aww. In a yard which has been long neglected and is mostly clay.
Tell the lovely Leah that I said hello.
Will do. Anyway, take care and have a good weekend.
I'm going to try. I'm going to spend it on the road.
With you.
Oh, and thank you very kindly to Christopher. Our pal Christopher said, I'll meet that challenge from Joey, and did. So Joey's translucent challenge has been met, and so we are at $735 to finish the week fully funded because it's been an uphill struggle because of the hole we finished May in. And like I said, I'm on the road tomorrow, and I hate worrying about this shit while I'm traveling. I'm going to have to get a couple of nights of hotels. And yeah. Moments like this, I always cue up Jason Isbell singing, I don't want to die in a Super 8 motel. So gross. So gross. No, Lou, I did not mean Robert F. Kennedy Jr. I meant JFK Jr. Because this Michael Protzman guy was running around telling the people, the maggot weirdos, that in fact JFK Jr. is still alive and so is JFK. It's real. That is a real QAnon conspiracy. And
forget dying in a Super 8. I don't want to stay in one.
Well, one is kind of predicated on the other. No, I found a little quality in down there that's not too terrible. And
it's Spood Central.
Now, oh please, don't go after dinner in the Central Daylight Time Zone, please.
I'm going right after it.
What happens if the marshals show up at Mar-a-Lago and take Trump off to jail?
I'm living for that day. Of course, unfortunately, Squeaky, I think we have a template for the future in the way the kid gloves with which the guy who looks like rancid hot dog water smells, Stevie Three Shirts, is being treated. This guy has been convicted, and he's at large on good behavior, when just about anybody else similarly convicted would already be serving their time. So as much as we would all love to see it, I don't think there will ever be a Trump perp walk.
Oh, I think there will be. He's going to get to the point where what he says is so damaging, as you might say, that he'll be taken off and shut up.
Well, we certainly hope so. But I'm falling on that. This guy is dead before he hits jail.
Now, which one?
Six inches of fat around his heart.
Oh, I understand, yeah. But again, and this is instructive, the lunacy of our days are instructive as to what we can expect in the future. This Michael Protzman guy, talked about him a couple of nights ago, this Michael Protzman dude got himself killed riding his motocross bike. Blunt force trauma to the head. And his followers think he isn't dead. And they shut down discussion on his Telegram channel as to whether he is dead. Now, can you imagine what's going to happen when Nitwit Nero shuffles off this mortal coil?
Put him up on the cross.
No, they'll swear he's not dead. He was killed by the Biden crime family.
Yeah, but he is risen again, right?
Steve in New York says, what I'd like to see is they take him to somewhere and make him eat at a salad bar. <Don't> you... Maybe they could put together a nice salad at the Club Fed, Steve.
Diet Pepsi.
Oh, yeah, there.
Might be tossing a different kind of salad.
I'll die of thirst without my Diet Coke.
But it's squirrely. Y'all, it is squirrely out there.
My most follow is Democratic Underground to get my news. And they're getting really weird.
How so?
I guess the moderators don't watch what they post sometimes, but it's not up to snuff. Maybe vacation week.
Maybe they're following the Fire Dog Lake model.
Steve. Oh, dear God, I haven't heard that name in ages.
Yeah, the Jane Hamster.
Yeah, whatever happened to those people?
Oh, they're gone. But actually, DJ, David Dan's still on there. He's a great journalist.
But what happened to, what was her name?
Jane Hampshire.
Yeah, Jane Hampshire, yeah.
Don't know.
Because, I mean, she was quite the... She was at a progressive radio summit on January 21st, 2009 that I attended. And she was just quite the little celebrity.
Yeah, she was. I think it turned out she's a grifter. Kind of like on the model of, you know, RFK. Or they took all the money from the liberals and whatever, made themselves rich or whatever, and then, you know, moved on. I don't know. That's a theory. Maybe I sound like a dummy, but that's my current theory. Yeah, see, we're beating up on other so-called progressives. Like, well, maybe we shouldn't do that.
Well, I try not to, but I
know. I agree. Well, how do you know if you're getting... Boy, these guys are pretty slick, apparently.
Well, you play to what people want.
Yeah, it's true, and it's a money-making operation rather than being a news consortium. I don't know. I happen to think news should really be a money-making thing, but it is. So there it is. There you have it. I know I sound like Jim, but forget him. Sorry.
No worries. No, you're fine.
Adam Schiff is sure raking in the money. Who? Here in California, getting ready for Senate.
Oh, that's just going to be a brutal and bloody race. And I know who I want Katie Porter. Adam Schiff would be good, yeah, but no. I want Katie Porter.
He should stay where he is, and she should be going for Senate.
It seems there's something about Katie Porter's demeanor that just says she would be better in the Senate.
I like her more too, but that's
and I think she's more progressive too, frankly.
Yeah, I hope it doesn't get bloody. You don't need to beat each other up. It's kind of what we were just talking about. We don't. Boy, we don't have too many allies. Well, we have allies that vote. This is an important point. There's so many people that don't vote. I think that's the biggest part of the story of the electorate. There's so many people that don't vote. And maybe some shouldn't, you know, including my best friend. Because I never paid attention to politics. I don't know what they're thinking. He got caught up on Trump stuff. We had to agree to not talk about politics. Just so we can save rent. I'm kind of all over the place tonight. Sorry about that.
That's okay. But with the, where our country is right now, the sad thing is we're going to get the nuttery on our own side too, depending on how much traction. Who called him? Was it Cynthia? Rotted F. Kennedy Jr. Depending on how much traction he gets, he'll be spewing all manner of madness. And we will find out that our side of this struggle is as prone to believing bullshit to at least a certain degree as the other side is.
Yeah, the money.
Because he is an anti-vax POS, and he'll be spreading it all over the country.
Yeah, when he was fine on Ring of Fire until about 10 years ago, and then he got kind of weird and disappeared, that's all.
Squeaky, they ditched him. Ring of Fire did. When he got nutty.
Okay, I used to listen on Saturday afternoons on Ring of Fire, but forgot to do that after a while.
Sam's been really struggling with the whole thing. He had David Dayan on today, and David was pretty brutal on co-host of Ring of Fire. But I don't know. I'm thinking just he's been a grifter the whole time, and he's hit it.
Robert F. Kennedy Jr. only came to the Coal River Valley because he wanted a movie made of his book.
A movie, and he was doing good work, but somewhere along the line, he figured a way. Well, his kind of like you were talking about greenwashing and how like the who's the big green organization? Like they just sucked up all the liberal money. And all the Republican money went straight into electing, buying justices and buying members of Congress.
Well, certainly there's an element of truth to that. But, you know, Bobby was running the Waterkeepers organization.
Right.
And then he got, and he was doing all of that out of the Pace School of Law up in New York. And I guess he got bounced out of there. He was still reasonably sane when I was, when Annette and I and the kids were on the Libboat cruise. But he was also weird at the same time.
Well, maybe we take more sympathetic view.
Who reaches over onto somebody else's plate and tries their dinner?
No, I was thinking, like, maybe he's going to be assassinated, you know, for a reason. He isn't, you know, politically viable, but maybe in his head, like, somebody's going to shoot him, CIA, or who knows. No, I sounded really conspiratorial today. I apologize again.
Well, we had that clip of him, last week, talking about how the CIA did in his uncle, you know, JFK?
Yep. We'll never know. We'll never know. It's kind of fun to think about, I guess. Fun's probably the really wrong word to use.
I'm really disappointed in Dennis Kucinich for getting involved with
grift. Again, that's another thing. It's like, I don't know. I can't wrap my head around this thing, how some of our so-called heroes turned out to be just total assholes.
Well, it's like that old joke, the punchline of which is, we all know what you are, now we're just negotiating the price. I want to thank you to Jude. Jude said, I'm donating in memory of Scott and Justice from my work, where I've just returned home from his memorial service. To be in the presence of deep, releasing grief is a journey of compassion and a unique aspect of our own mortality. I'm reminded of you, Robin, on July 4th when you completely opened yourself to all of us in your pain and shock as you wept. I draw upon the line that hope cometh in the morning. It's just that one needs to get through the night. Always here. I'm Jude. Thank you, Jude. We're now down to $710 to finish the week. And after having caught up with May, May's deficit. Thank you, Jude. Thank you so much. And I hope the memorial service at work was, in fact, cleansing and releasing. Going back, Jack in Shreveport, subject line, crazy on a plane. This story sounds like it's off the TV show Fringe. I know, and I'm getting tired of reality imitating the nuttiness that was supposed to be fiction in this country. It's just tiresome. I mean, tiresome. Or ponderous, man. Ponderous.
I see Jeremy joined us. I have a kind of funny story. When I got behind on listening, I just shut all the politics talk down. I was 6 months behind, about a month behind now. And yeah, I think I just gave it a wrong date earlier on the last thing of Scott. And I'm actually kind of tired of thinking about it. And I was looking around on the White Rose. I guess it doesn't go back as far anymore because I was looking for things like on Mr. Stress.
There's a deep archive.
Oh, a deeper archive? Okay.
I don't know how to get to it.
Okay. I can probably find it if I get a fire under my ass to do it. You know, I was going to say, before I called, and we got the bad news, I was talking about my daughter's birthday. I was thinking about Mr. Stress, too, because, that's right. When I first called, he was the call right after me, and he had his live stroke on air.
That was your first call?
Yeah, it was my first call. And I was already nervous. I still am nervous when I call. It's not a function of you or anybody else. I'm just definitely afraid of it. And I'm starting to feel a little bit more comfortable now. But I'll probably wither under any criticism. So let's be nice to me, Steve. From New York. But anyway, it was her birthday, July 3rd. She's 28, and she listens vicariously because she can hear my computer. Her hearing's pretty good. She didn't play drums for 40 years. But she's quite the good little liberal. I couldn't be prouder. I learned from my dad. I was going to talk about my dad. He's been dead a long time. I feel like I'm rambling, and I would like some support.
You're not. You're not rambling.
Robin, how do you do it? I feel like I'm talking and nothing. I know people are listening, but I feel like I'm talking to myself, which I do anyway. But now
Wait a minute. I feel like I'm talking to myself, which I do anyway.
I do it all the time, but I don't have a critical mind. You know, really smart people to judge me. And I know you're this family. You're not going to judge me. That's what makes
No, we don't. We only talk behind each other's backs, Ken.
Oh, great. I love that. Yeah, that's perfect. That's where it belongs. I mean, because you know people do that too. And they're mostly morons. And Christians. So-called Christians. Oh, God, I hate these people. Let's channel Mike Malloy.
Yeah, have I told you tonight how much I hate these people?
Yeah, exactly. I always wondered how many people found you over the years. And we've lost people. People have dropped off. We don't really know why. But I think, boy, there's so many. It's a list. Teresa, Kara Ron from the Great North. I don't know why it brings up, but I would really like to hear from those people again. If they could manage to find a way to just call, if you got a day off. Because we do worry. To me, you've always been friends. Everybody that calls the show, you've been friends. It took me so long to call. And, you know, I'm kind of sorry that it took that, but it's what it is. I'm a little neurotic. boy. And I know that's probably some of it's probably painful for you, Robin, but I hope I didn't.
No, you're fine.
Yeah, like some people, I've drifted off for different reasons, and some people for the obvious reason, the elephant in the room, the trans issue. Scott, he never just dropped the ball. She's always been Robin. And I'm not going to dead name you, but.
Thank you.
I still struggle. I was talking to my daughter. Like, I struggle with the pronouns. It's just an honest mistake. It's kind of funny, but it's like, oh, damn it, I'm not going to get it right. But it's just kind of, I'm not so smart as you. Or the rest of the crew. I mean, the hive mind is, if there's such a thing as an IQ, the hive mind that we have in this family is like astronomical. It's Avogadro's number, right? Or pi. It's greater than 3. You have to displace the decimal. 314.14. All right. You know what I mean? It's not. Oh, no. I feel like stepping on my toes again. Please, somebody help me. Jack, help me.
By the way, as far as the Deep Archive is concerned, Brother Deacon Asa said anything older than 2013, and this breaks my heart. Anything older than 2013 was wiped out after the last White Rose crash. But Brother Deacon says he does have copies that he will eventually pull out and make available, but it takes a bit of time because that's 8 years worth of shows.
Oh, my fucking God. These fuckers, they attacked the White Rose Society just because.
Oh, yeah.
Fascists.
Right.
Oh, I hate these fucking people.
I've been listening to the show since 2010, and I called in once at that time. But that's about the only time I've contacted the show.
Well, then now.
Funny.
I'm trying. I figure somebody's got to be funny. Somebody has to. I think I'm pretty funny, but not like Scott. This is so raw. He was just so damn funny.
And such a wellspring of information. I mean,
yeah, absolutely.
He was in, for the things that he cared about, he was absolutely encyclopedic.
You had mentioned we have a hive mind in this group. The problem is we don't. And I offer you this as an excuse why we don't. If we had a hive mind, no one would leave. Everyone would agree, and it wouldn't matter what Robin said or what you-know-who said back in the past life said. They'd stick with them no matter what, just like they do fucking Trump. We're not a hive. We're individuals. We're different than they are completely.
A point taken, Jeremy. No, that's a really good point, and you're wrong. I was trying to maybe describe the thing that surrounds Robin, but yeah, you're right.
I know what you're doing, but when I heard hive, I'm like, no, we're not really a hive. We can't
yeah,
be one.
Yeah, definitely.
We and don't function as one.
And Robin's not a queen either.
Maybe in her own mind, but we don't know. She's never admitted that.
We are not amused.
Yeah. I'm going back to silence.
Good to hear from you, Jeremy.
That's right. No, it's just because I'm a sycophant. That's right. I remember somebody is calling us sycophants. I'm a Robin sycophant, so that's why I thought a hive. So there you go.
Hey, they've been heard from Sparky. Is Sparky still around? Like
Sparky's around. Sparky's well.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Sure. He hasn't been doing the any of the group chat or anything on Skype group chat lately, has he?
If he does, it's after the show privately.
Oh, okay. Because I haven't heard from him in a while.
Okay, go, Jeremy.
I have personal attention with Sparky. I still talk to him most nights. He's just chosen to move on at this point. I still keep him informed of what's going on. He knows about Scott. He still keeps in touch. He just isn't part of the group as much anymore. So he's still around.
Okay. All right. Just want to make sure. I'm all paranoid now.
Does anybody remember when Mike Malloy had 3 hours each night on the web a few years ago? 3 hours a night.
That was how I perceived Malloy from the very beginning.
He was great, and then it went down to 2 hours, and then down to one. But he was fine, and then when his wife disappeared, the show just didn't sound the same.
I remember Mike Malloy on terrestrial radio.
Yes.
Well, and that's part of the reason for the format changes. He was a three-hour program because three-hour programs were the industry standard. And then
he did have commercials too.
Yeah, because he was heard on terrestrial stations all over the country. Back in the beginning of the century, he was with IE America for a few years. And then the new guy got elected president of the UAW and said, "By God, my first act in office will be to stop hemorrhaging money into IE America," because he didn't think that there was any benefit to putting a pro-union progressive message out there to compete with all the tsunami of right-wing hate. I personally think that was not a wise decision, but, well, he probably had a lot of conservative members inside the UAW. It is not the... You know, radicalism is not radicalism, but, you know, even liberalism, progressivism inside labor is not what it once was. I mean, I live in a state, West Virginia, where unions were almost by default a progressive force for progressive good. Now, the West Virginia AFL-CIO runs around endorsing Republican members of Congress. And it absolutely drives Boss Man Wayne to distraction. And I understand why. I mean, unions endorsing Republicans is like chickens voting for Colonel Sanders. And I do want to answer questions when they come through. John in Central PA wanted to know about the angry Indian. We had a falling out way back before I transitioned or anything, because he would call the program and then he would turn his call to the program around on and make it his show. Whatever. But one evening on Twitter, he just went on and on and on and on. The election was over. Bernie lost the primary, and it was, you know, Hillary is the devil. And just wouldn't let go. And I just couldn't. There have been some people that I have cut out of the group over the years, because while I am the hostess of this program, I am not here to be verbally or electronically abused, and I don't suffer assholes gladly. I don't suffer assholes at all. And so some people have disappeared because they decided that they were going to go to the dark side. And
I kind of want to apologize for even bringing that up, Robin.
No, it's okay. It's okay. It's the people. It's the people who disappear about. Without telling me to fuck off.
Yeah.
That worry
okay.
Me. Yeah.
Yeah.
And thank you very kindly. We are down to, after Jude jumped in, we were down to 710. We're now down to 700. Thank you very kindly to Billable Rick. Billable Rick just followed through on the Let's Golf More challenge and kicked in an extra $10 in Scott's memory. Thank you, Billable. Thank you so much. Yeah, and Ralphs tells us the White Rose Society Kincaid archive goes back to June 1 of 2015. So that's 10 years of the program just gone until Brother Deacon Asa gets his copy of the archive sorted out. Oh, and Stephen New York said Katie Porter gives him a Sheldon Whitehouse vibe. Okay, yeah, I can see that. Oh, and this is a sweet thing that Darlene in Connecticut sent in. Happy anniversary, Mr. and Mrs. President. Jimmy and Rosalind Carter have celebrated their 77th wedding anniversary. Today they extended their record as the longest married presidential couple in the history of the United States. But the Republicans had the family values, right? Right, no. And thank you, Ralphs. Ralphs just got us down to 675. So, you know,
it's probably the longest marriage period rather than presidential.
Well, I think there are.
I know.
Yeah. May they have another one. You know, she was recently diagnosed with dementia, and it's sad. And President Carter is in hospice care. And there are moments that I dread. And one of those moments is when President Carter passes the flood tide of filth that will flow out of Fox News TV Radio Rwanda. It will be disgusting.
I'm already pre-vomiting.
Wait a minute. That's two for you this evening, Ken. Pre-vomiting.
All right. I'm going to work for three.
And you decided to take a run at dinner in the Mountain Daylight Time Zone.
I'm kind of hungry, actually.
Steve and Karen must be off celebrating all over the place.
Did we lose Robin?
I'm right here.
Oh, okay.
I was in contact with Steve just a bit ago, and between Scott and a friend of his and a few other things, deaths of people he was associated with one way or another, he's not in a good space right now. But he's doing okay. He's just not in social.
I understand. Last weekend, my wife lost three family members back east, and she's just recovering.
And of course, Steve's got a deal now with, he's still working and the wife's retired. And I think Steve's planning on cutting back somehow when they get their finances figured out. With the reduced income, because I know he wants to start doing some traveling too. So he's got issues. He's got issues going that are not life threatening or any of that kind of stuff. He's just taking a break. He'll be back.
I know he was dealing with his mom's veterans benefits or something.
Yeah, he finally got that sorted out.
Speaking of veterans benefits, I just discovered that when I get done with the optometrist and my shots in my eye for macular degeneration and that kind of crap, it turns out that the VA does provide glasses, which I never knew before. So I'm about ready to find out how much they're going to charge me to get my new prescription on my glasses. So VA is an interesting compendium of problems.
Oh, it's Byzantine. Ponderous, man, ponderous.
Shots to the eyeball. That's one of the worst, most disturbing things I've ever seen. And I hope to God I never have to go through it. Because that to me is a horror movie that, you know, I don't want to live through.
And I just got a text message from Christopher that he's out backpacking. I've got the hiking bug and trying to ride the wave while I have it. Love out to the horn, and I truly miss Scott. So Christopher will be back around when his life changes a bit too. And, you know, I've been absent a bunch because my life has gotten all screwed up. Today I was at a planning meeting for a workshop we're teaching later this month on Jim's sweet things, how to preserve sweet things, get them in your pantry for winter. So life gets complicated. I think that a lot of it is, that's what it is just life gets complicated.
It does. And mine is complicated right now, quite honestly. between, I mean, especially with all this business going on down in Tennessee and everything. This is going to be the second week in a row that I'm going to, you know, hang 400 more miles on the family truckster. And it means I'm going to be worn out when I get home again. And I'll and I know that road pretty well anyway, but it's exhausting, the driving and everything, but even more so, I guess the, for lack of a better term, the existential component, the existential fear of being in a maggot state and just worrying about what can possibly go wrong. I mean, I was very fortunate last time through, but it's Tennessee. The same applies to Kentucky, to Alabama, to Mississippi. And it's nuts. Oh my goodness! One of our guests in the chat room is did I read that right? Guest user TJ, is that you, TJ?
Whoever the guest is not unmuting their microphone.
I'm sorry, it's me.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. I was away for a minute.
So it's TJ?
John.
Oh, John. Oh, hey, John.
Yep. Yeah, sorry about that. I just wanted to pop in and say sorry to everybody about Scott. I mean, I've been listening since 2016, and you know, and he was actually one of the first people I heard, you know, and everything. So yeah, I just wanted to pop in, you know, for a minute. I've been listening in and out lately. You know, I go to school and I work now, so like, you know, everything's been so hectic for me. So if I'm like, oh hey, I missed that, if I'm missing something, I'm saying, hey, did this? When did this happen? Whatever. It's, you know, I apologize. So.
I don't think apologies are necessary.
No, you're fine. You're fine, John. And by the way, just let me say, I always enjoy seeing your what you send me over on Twitter.
Awesome.
I don't know how or where you find some of this shit.
I know. I don't either. Sometimes it just pops up, you know. And by the way, I will never go over to the dark side ever. You know, I'm born anti-fascist, born anti-war, and always hated Trump. And ever since he was on that fucking Apprentice, and even if I say something bad about Biden once in a while, because I do get frustrated with things don't move fast enough, you know, blah blah blah. You know, they don't take that as me, you know, turning into a maggot or anything. That will never happen. I've never voted for Republican, never will. And it's being anti-Republican is basically in my blood. But anyway, just wanted to get that out there.
Oh, I'm glad you did. In fact, I was, what was this earlier today? I love that post that you sent me. From the, this is beautiful.
I hope that's real. I don't know if it's real or not.
I desperately want it to be real.
I half think it is. I mean, it's definitely at least 50% chance.
I mean, it's got identifying numbers on it and everything. So, and it's on the internet, so it must be real. A few years back, the poster is anonymous. I lost my life savings investing, .. A few years back, I stupidly threw away over $60,000 buying shares in Truth Social. When I bought them, the shares were worth $130. Now they're worth $12. That orange piece of shit said that we were going to change the world.
We're going to change the world.
And take on the likes of Facebook and Twitter. I felt part of something and felt that my money was being used to defend free speech and American values. Now I just feel like a motherfucking cuck. The hell do I do now?
I can see humor.
I'm sorry, go ahead. I just said gotta love it.
Yeah, I can see humor in some of that stuff, but sometimes it touches kind of close, and I'll explain why. My best friend's grandparents, good people as far as I know, they're older, they mind their own selves, but they fell victim to one of those schemes. And it was one of the too good to be true, but they're, you know, kind of blind to it. If you send us this amount of money, we'll send you this much back. Well, it kept doubling. We sent us a little more, it'll get better and better. Before they knew it, they had dumped basically all of their life savings into this. Something like $100,000. And it's gone. It was an overseas scam. Same idea, like I said, good people, they didn't deserve it. But I guess you make stupid mistakes, you pay for them. And now basically his dad, his son has to watch out for his retired dad and mom. His mom just died, but his dad's still kicking. But still, he lost something like $100,000 to one of these pump and dump schemes.
That's awful. Even there's a bunch of Netflix specials about guys that are just like this now. So many of these people out there that are scamming people, these low life scanning these people, and it's not right. You know, no matter who it is, even if it is a Republican.
Well, not to come back and beat a dead motocross rider, but you know that Michael Protzman guy. He had a legitimate business. He was successful. He lived in Federal Way, Washington. But then apparently he saw an opportunity and he grabbed it. And you can apparently scam a shitload of maggots just by spewing crazy stuff. He had them following him all over the country, going to you remember, because we talked about it on the show a year ago too. Nitwit Nero had a humongous rally in Dallas. Remember? And this guy was telling his goofball followers, his dumb, really dumb followers, that the band was going to be made up of like Jim Morrison and Elvis Presley and, I don't know, maybe Janis Joplin and, you know, all those rock and rollers who died at 27. And they believed it. And he said that JFK would reveal himself in Dallas, and then JFK stayed dead. I think Scott and I talked about that one, because, and if I recall correctly, Scott was beside himself.
Well, that's the one where all those people were camping out at Daily Plaza or something,
yes,
waiting
yes,
for him to
Roger,
come down
yes.
with the motorcade.
Yes.
And this actually affects us more than you know it does. If you ever asked John 3 years ago at one of his Blue Dot meetings, the hotel they went to, there was like 40 people waiting for that day to come at the hotel. They're there waiting for JFK to reappear.
Wasn't JFK a Democrat?
Yes.
Yes. Very much so.
Hardcore.
So I don't understand why they give a fuck.
Since we're on the topic of scams, and everybody knows that Bed Bath & Beyond is going out of business, the number of Facebook posts of outfits selling off the Bed Bath & Beyond goods, watch out for them because they're all fake. I got drug into a Home Depot. I thought it was just a questionnaire with a good deal. And fortunately, I have a good bank. And they spotted, because I gave a credit card to pay for postage and handling. It was also a scam. The scammers are all over the place. And I generally feel that I'm pretty astute. but in the last year, I've been sucked into two of them. One of them was on COVID test kits, but that was a bilking against Medicare. And then this other one on the Home Depot. But I say, fortunately, the bank caught it, but we now have a new credit card. And so my wife pays all the bills, a lot of them with the credit card, had to get online and change the credit card number for things like the dentist's office and the optometrist and all that. So I've just come to the conclusion now, if I see it on the net, it's bullshit. I'm not going to send any money to anybody. Now that's, Robin, that's not you, because
I didn't say a word. I did not say a word, Roger.
No, I'm still going to be coming up with some money for you when I can afford it. But the thing is, I thought I was careful, and as I say, I've gotten burned twice here trying to be careful. So the scams are really easy to fall for.
I got one. Somebody used my address to get me on X. I don't use Xbox, but somebody got me on Xbox, and I got kicked off. And my wife got all these charges against one of our accounts for what I bought or whatever, and it's still going on. Just a mess.
Now, everyone be nice to Robin. She has to pay for that Gulfstream and that helicopter.
Now, Jeremy, quit it. You know damn good and well that we have cemented over the pancreas-shaped Olympic-sized swimming pool. The Gulfstream flew away a long time ago. Annette's pool boy, cabana boy, masseuse, he blew out of here. It's been rough, I'm telling you.
At least tell people the truth about that pancreas-sized swimming pool. It actually had real insulin in it, too.
The waiting area were the Isle of Langerhans.
Well, you still got the Maybach.
No, we had to sell the Maybach at a loss, too. Down to a riding lawnmower and a four-door Ford.
If that riding lawnmower was a Craftsman, be wary about where you buy your parts.
It is a Husqvarna. But they're all made by MTD, as far as I know. John Deere, Troy Bilt, Cub Cadet, Husqvarna, I think. They're just different badges and different color schemes.
Well, at one time, Troy Bilt was the Cadillac of rototillers.
Oh, heavens, yes.
And then they sold off and went downhill serious. And my Troy Bilt rototiller I first bought in 1972. And the only thing original on this Troy Bilt from that 1972 is the handlebars. I'm on my, I don't know, sixth or seventh motor, fifth or sixth set of tines, and I'm in my second gearbox. I wore them out. It wasn't that they were bad, but I wore them out. Unfortunately, some of the parts I need now are totally unavailable because the new Troy Bilt company doesn't support their old machines.
Well, they're probably in China now, aren't they?
I haven't got a clue.
Yeah, I don't think they're in Troy, New York anymore.
It's planned obsolescence.
Well, no, I think the Troy Bilt company that was old enough to where there was some generational number, and the heirs decided to cash out, and somebody bought a really good company and ran it into the ground and sold off all the bits and pieces and the trade name and walked out the winner and left everybody else
holding
the sack.
Roger, that sounds like the business model of Bishop Willard Romney.
Yeah. Yeah. And a bunch of other Republicans.
I kind of said that tongue in cheek because the tooling required to make those parts, they wear out. So they have to make new tooling. I used to be a tool maker. I made plastic injection molds. Same thing applies for anything like die cast, metal parts. The machine tools wear out, and so they have to update him. So they upgrade him, and of course they do change the dimensions. Maybe they made it worse or for the better. Who knows?
This is a throttle cable. You know, the old, move your thumb and it pulls a lever and there's a cable.
Yeah.
There's a wire that goes down a cable that attaches.
Yeah.
I can't get one that has the holes drilled properly to put the two screws in to mount the damn thing on the handlebars. The pulleys, the motors bolt on, Briggs and Stratton or Kohler or, new motors are no problem. But of course I'm not using the tiller near as much as I used to. I fired it up earlier this year, but my garden went from an acre in size down to four raised beds that are 4 feet by 20 feet. So I don't even use the big tiller in there, but I still kept it because hell, I've had it since 72. I'm not about to get rid of it. My wife can give it away after I'm dead.
I never used a tiller, and I'm glad I haven't. And good on you for using one.
Plus, companies are now sort of switching to this system where you can't really fix anything. You know, it's like you don't own your own machine. Everything's proprietary, and I know John Deere is doing that.
John Deere, Caterpillar, International Harvester, they're all doing it.
Yeah, again, that sounds plain obsolescence. It's not obsolescence. They're charging people to replace all the parts because they're the sole supplier of those parts. And yeah, that's fucked up, man. Oh, I hate these people. Okay, keep coming back to that. I'm sorry, but I do.
Well, the electric car is going to be doing it to your automobiles too. Tesla's in the lead on that right now. That the only person that can work on a Tesla is a Tesla outfit. So they'll sell you the car relatively cheap and then suck your pocket with a vacuum cleaner anytime anything goes wrong.
Otherwise known as the Porsche model. I mean, other people can work on Porsches, but I remember eons ago when I pulled my 911, it was a Carrera, pulled my my 911 Carrera Targa, pulled it into the bay there at the Porsche dealer, and I was met by a guy with a thick German accent wearing a lab coat like a doctor. I was like, oh, this is going to hurt. And it did. But it should be no surprise that Leon Scum's model is one in which he just constantly siphons money out of the pockets of his marks. I mean, customers.
But he's just a prophet. He's trying to save humanity, Robin.
Yeah, well, I wish he'd save humanity from his beach house on Mars.
Yeah, it wouldn't worry too much. I'm pretty sure they're not paying the actual people that do the work any kind of money. So, and they'll be rich, and they won't.
Again, that's the model.
Again, and you are a model.
No.
I'm kidding. I'm just messing around. I'm trying to liven up the... I don't want to get so dark again. I want to be funny. Scott was funny, and I'm trying to be funny. And, you know, I probably fail most of the time, but I'm going to still try to be funny.
You are. I mean, you've gotten two cowbells tonight.
Yeah, well, I'm still working on that third one. Go ahead, Roger.
I was going to say, which one of the trailer queens got kicked out of the Freedom Caucus?
Oh, that was marginal.
Marginal, yeah. That's a joke if I ever saw one.
Yep, she's not weird enough for the Freedom Caucus.
She's woke.
Yeah, there we go. She's woke.
SJW. This stuff is so old, isn't it? It's tiresome. I don't think I'm alone in that. I'm so tired of just listening to these stupid idiots. And a lot of them are stupid. Like RFK, you know he's not dumb. It's a grift. This whole thing's, they turned it into a circus. And no offense to the circus, to, you know, our friend Jerry. No, this isn't funny. There's no joke. This, our country hangs in the balance. And probably the world, because what happens in the vacuum if we fail?
Well, I thought one of the feeds I came across today, actually, was the front runner for 45 for his vice president when he becomes 47. Tulsi Gabbard.
Well, if we're going down this rabbit hole, Roger, the thing that was being blathered about a couple of weeks ago that I actually found kind of believable, is this notion of an RFK Jr. Trump unity ticket with RFK Jr. as the vice president.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I know, not enough beer.
Hi, Billable. We see you.
I'm trying to close the thing here. Hold on, guys. Hi. How you doing? Yeah, let's see here. I'll turn off the camera here. Let's see. Camera off. Turn video off. Okay, I got it. All right.
There we go.
There you go. Yeah, it automatically comes on when I go on to this Skype link. So, anyway, how's everybody doing?
Oh, we're doing.
Yeah. Well said.
I know. Yeah, that's all you can do, I tell you. I don't know if you read the email I wrote to you, Robin, earlier, but I came across some really good pictures of the festivities with Scotty, Joey, and Tamara in San Diego on September 10th of 2019, and posted them to my Facebook account, and also did a little post on Scotty's account just for his family members and so forth. I thought they might, you know, get a kick out of that. If any of you all want to look at that and you're not friends with me on Facebook, I can, you know, you can either maybe Robin could provide you with my contact info, or I can just put it in the chat here in the link.
Oh, I'm looking.
I saw him off your page, Rick.
I'm looking at him now.
Okay, cool. Cool. Yeah, Joey reminded me of the date of the get together last night in a text message, and so that motivated me to, you know, to go look up my phone for them, and I was able to find them. So
Tamara's having an absolute blast.
Oh, she's having a hoot. Yeah, for sure, for sure. So I'll just make an announcement. If anybody wants to be friends with me on Facebook, I'll accept your request. Oh, what the hell? Rick Stack. Okay. On Facebook. There you go.
Well, what I'm doing right now. And. Oh, come on. How do I hate Facebook? Let me count the ways.
Yeah, right. Is that a Shelly Tom?
I hope it just went to my my page. I'll have to check.
Oh, you're sharing the post? to your page?
No, I shared a picture.
Oh, that's cool. Thank you, Roger. Yeah, that's a good one. That's great. Tamara was laughing. I'm sure at something Scotty was saying. Man, that guy was so funny, I tell you.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it shared to my page. So if you follow me on Facebook, you can see this is just beautiful.
Oh, great. That's awesome.
And I bet you Tamara will love these too.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, it was great to meet her too. I credit Joey for getting my ass down to San Diego to for that little junket. We had dinner at the Outback Steakhouse, and then afterwards had a kind of impromptu front porch session outside of the steakhouse. And I remember we went and got some ice cream while we were out there. And it was a fun time. It was a fun time. And I think you went a little overtime that day. Oh, wow, I'm getting a bunch of requests. Okay, I'm going to friend everyone back. Don't worry about it, okay?
Where did everybody go?
I'm right here. We kind of got a little vibe going, and then it sort of fell off. Hey, there's Jack in Shreveport.
So, what was the story of the lady that was having the freak out? I wasn't able to follow what was going on with that.
She flipped it. Okay, so according to Carrot Top, which is never a great way to begin any news story, according to Carrot Top, he was on a plane from Dallas to Orlando. This all happened on the ground in Dallas. And a woman at the back of the plane flipped out and screamed that she was not going to fly because that person back there was not real. And the flight was delayed for 5 hours, and Carrot Top was actually complaining that he missed the fireworks in Orlando. But she got off the plane. Nobody knows what happened to her. And nobody knows who she was. She was probably the real shapeshifter.
So why didn't... This was on the fourth, or what?
This was on the plane.
No, the date was the fourth.
Yes.
So it's been, well, let's see.
It's been
enough time to hear some, some follow up about the woman, I guess.
Well, why didn't Carrot Top just put her in a rear naked chokehold and show her she's dead? I mean, it sounds more dangerous than ice cream. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty.
Yeah, you make a point. Where was the air marshal? That plane was packed. You're telling me there's not an air marshal on a flight from Dallas to Orlando? Have Greg Asbot and... and Monkey Up, have they gone all nullification on the FAA's air marshal program?
I guess what that makes me think of is that there's some kind of syndrome that's caused by brain damage where people, they see somebody and they don't think that's the real person. Like someone sees their wife and it's like, this is not real. But if they hear the voice, it's like, yeah, okay, this is my real wife, but then I don't remember what that disease is called.
But so did they just take her off the plane, or what was the deal? They were at the airport. They'd been sitting there, right, because they don't want to – they they make more money if you don't let the people off the plane or something like that. There's something to do with that. But so did they were they at the gate or could they taxi back to the gate?
Yeah. Well, I mean, they were in some position where they could get back and get her off the plane.
Yeah. And so they did or.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
At least according to Carrot Top.
Right.
Mm. Which is something I really never planned on saying on a progressive conversation program.
Yeah.
At least according to Carrot Top.
Right. Oh, man. Crap. Well, I'm way out of the news loop like I was whenever that was last time I talked to you. What the hell? Wait a second. No, that was by email when I had the power outage. When the hell was that? Man, I don't know. Anyway, yeah, I've been out of the news loop. Let's see. I usually try to turn on, whatever the deadline, White House, a lot of other people have been doing it in the past few days, but so, 3 o'clock my time and I'll catch a few things and let's see. Joy Reid had a special, I think that was on the 4th instead of Deadline White House. And, but I bring up Firefox and hit, go to Head On Live and then hit the, play button. And I don't know, I've had like, it would sound like there was something wrong with the sound. And, I don't know, just kind of being, tired lately. I didn't think about using another browser or anything. I just assumed it was the net or whatever, and I had page loading problems or whatever. And so I hadn't listened to the show until yesterday. I caught part of it. That was the first time I found out about Scott. Let's see. Also on that Joy Reid, I found out, one of the mass shootings over the 4th of July was in Shreveport.
Yes.
And I had, I hadn't caught any of the local news or I hadn't caught, hadn't been really going to my little emails about, from the local paper and that. So that was all the info I heard on that. And then, let's see, we had a... some weirdo legal decision by some judge in Louisiana, which apparently had a good rep, except when it came to vaccine crap or something. So I don't, and that I heard on national news as well. Haven't really been on the local news loop. So, let's see. After all the power outage and cable outage and internet outage and everything, I hurt my back somehow. That's getting better. So that put me kind of out for a while. And I've been taking care of a blind cat, and that's been, a lot of extra work. And so that's been I lost Peacock. They started charging for the, a lot of stuff now. That was the only streaming channel I got. And that's pretty much gone. They still show a few free things, but most of it's charging. So that was, I've had an upset in my, sitcoms that I can like run the whole, seasons and all that. And let's it's been just a you know a lot of things break. You know I'm talking about I think the tiller I heard, and I thought you know I'd get two or three of the automobile hose clamps that are metal and you can adjust and you know, put them around there. I got a lot of things that break. And let's see, what else? So Malloy is where I found out about your show, Robin. I'm pretty sure. It's been a long time, but I'm pretty sure that's how I came to find this show. And what else? We got a, I don't know what the hell goes on, but last election, y'all were talking about, I don't know, Dems that were weird or something, and we got a Republican mayor for like the first time I think in a while, and I just voted for the incumbent Dem just because I was going to vote for Dem. But it turns out some other Dems and former mayors that were Dem endorsed the Republican mayor. So I don't know what the hell that was about. That's pretty much my deal.
It's interesting that you say you're trying to remember how you met Robin's show. It probably was Mike Malloy.
Yeah.
I wondered if the same thing too, but I don't remember when I
Early on, there were two primary routes of finding this program. Malloy was probably the single greatest one, but way, 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 way back when there was, Apple had something called it was well before Apple Podcasts. It was just it was Apple Radio, and it was the dominant source of internet broadcasting.
Wow. Huh.
Yeah, I was a huge C-SPAN junkie, and then at some point through C-SPAN, I heard of Tom Hartman, and then from Tom Hartman, I heard of Stephanie Miller, and then Randy Rhodes, and then the whole chain of people.
I think iTunes over on that left-hand column, there was, you know, you could pick from your podcast. But
yeah, what it was, iTunes Radio, exactly.
There was a radio column, but I never really got to where I could search it or browse it or, you know, I guess I just never delved into it, you know. I was just going, I think, let's see, I was doing all the, I guess by a web browser or something, listening to the Air America stuff, you know, and then I guess somehow would listen, just using VLC or something, and now it's mainly by the browser. Skype right now, but usually I'm using the web browser.
I kind of posed a question because I found after Air America exploded, so listen to Sam, I just happened to stumble on Robin's show somehow. I believe that's my memory. It might have been from Malloy, but that always kind of curious, made me curious. It was even better with later listeners that found this show. It's fascinating to me. 20 years, Robin.
I know. Isn't it mind-blowing?
Yeah. You know, absolutely. What I always think of is the old, I don't know if it was rule of thumb or just data or whatever, is that most small businesses would never make it past 5 years, or that was the average or something that they last, you know. And so being able to finance it and make it for you know, sell the product basically, you know, for so many times over that 5 years, you know, is just pretty amazing.
I kind of miss Norman Goldman, to be honest.
A lot of people miss Norman Goldman.
I like Norm too.
Oh, Norm was great.
Make this commercial lead, so I'm gonna quit.
Yeah, Norm, it's kind of funny. In one of the last calls I had with Norm, we calculated how much it cost him per hour to do the show, because he lent about $2 million to the show over like 5 years. So we figured it was like about maybe, I don't know, $300 an hour or something like that. I forget. I have the exact calculation written down somewhere. But, of course, I'm a tax attorney, so I'm always a numbers guy, you know?
Nerd.
Yeah,
and exactly. You know, that's one of the things that kind of separates this little operation from others. When we realized that nothing was ever going to happen on terrestrial radio, not for lack of talent or drive or desire or effort, but just because all the radio stations are, as Joey noted in his journal, owned by right-wing assholes, asshole corporations, we had to find a different way to survive. That, or, you know, I go back into the law, or welcome to Walmart. They don't even have greeters anymore. And so it, you know, it evolved into this. And we really do run this thing on the last frayed thread of a dry rotted sneaker lace. Which reminds me, as we come to the end of the program, we are now down below $700, so we won't have a $1,000 fundraising goal on Monday. Hallelujah, glory, praise Jesus. But golly, it sure would be good if we could get well, or finish the week to the good, and get sort of move toward a reboot, so that we don't finish July in a deficit like we did June and May, because it really does put us behind the eight ball. And, you know, one of the best ways of maybe doing that is to grow the program. Yeah, really, tell your friends and neighbors, invite them into our little community.
Bake some more cookies, Robin.
cookies, always the cookies.
Bake sale radio.
Yeah, I'm here. He's not.
Yay, good.
Oh, God. And, I mean, you know, somebody mentioned Air America earlier. That was just such a damn near criminally negligent effort. Who ever thought you could get that thing to survive buying time on towers? That was the dumbest business model I think that's ever existed in radio. It was doomed to failure. Now, they were hemorrhaging $80,000 a day, something like that.
It was a money suck on the liberals. We can ask the RFK about that, and that's the last thing I'll say. Good night, Robin and family.
Ken, take care, my friend. Thank you, Emilio. Emilio just got us down to 671. So thank you very kindly for that. That's one of those things I said when we started this, that I wanted to, you know, I wanted to last, wanted to keep it going. And somehow y'all have. I've showed up every night, but y'all have kept it going.
Anybody else remember the scam that was, I think, KPHX out of Phoenix?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Nova M?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I know what, you know, and I know what Air America did to Sheldon and Anita Drobny.
Yeah.
And that was just ugly.
And Malloy was on that, the one you just mentioned, right? The Nova?
Well, Malloy went from IE America to Air America to Nova M. Just trying to keep, and God knows when Air America went belly up, I think they went belly up owing him, Jesus God, the money they owed him.
Because I remember, like, he was on his way to somewhere and then had to reverse course or something. Everything got kind of gets fuzzy, but, because I think I was listening way late at night on some of those. I can't remember. Anyway. Sorry.
Oh, thank you very kindly to Terry out in Iowa. We are now down, and Emilio got us down to 671. Terry just got us down to 621. Thank you, Terry, so much. So much. Thank you. And I had a note from Suman out in Arizona. Subject line, Scott. I just joined to listen after a while. Really sorry to hear about Scott. When I listen, I always used to hope that he would call in. R.I.P., Scott. It's a big hole he's left. And it just... slowly getting back to normal. Understanding, of course, that normal is only a setting on a dryer.
And that's we're all screwed.
Yeah. And that's another individual who passed long ago who was dear to us, and that was Peter Godbold. God, what a wonder he was. And Tommy, we've made some history here. Peter was the first five nights a week radio program hosted by a gay man dealing with HIV. And so many people in that era of the Horn conversation learned so much. I remember sitting here producing when he interviewed Julia Serrano, a trans woman, author of a brilliant text called Whipping Girl. And I just sat here and wept. I sat here and wept and wept. Because it felt like there was nothing I would ever be able to do to finally be me. And we still have that archive somewhere. I should reach out to her and just tell her that. But Peter is the one who gave us normal is only a setting on a dryer. Peter also said, "Oh Bob, I'm so gay. The exhaust out of my automobile is pink." And he had spent years as a DJ in one of Portland's more prominent discos. And had an encyclopedic knowledge of disco. And we've got CDs, you know, Peter's disco. There is some amazing disco mixdowns here. There are. And John Fox and me and Peter doing the horn section for a year or so, because John would come on from Australia at midnight. And so John and Peter and I would kill that hour between the end of my program and then the end of Peter's program, and then we'd just sit there and rap. And it was amazing. And all of this for pennies compared to, you know, Air America. And we're still here. Not bragging. Just a little proud. Proud and grateful.
Better model, Robin. You got a better model.
I don't know how. I don't know how billable, but I guess it is. Thank you, Jack. Jack just got us down to 611. Thank you so much. That means that 11 more bucks, and we are fully funded up to yesterday. That's
fantastic. That include the deficit? Does that include the deficit ending June, Robin? This tally.
If we hadn't had that June deficit, we'd be caught up. We'd be good.
Throw me in for another $30 in Scotty's memory, okay?
Okie doke. So that gets us down to, let's see, 611, 600. You're the tax lawyer. You do the ciphering. Who the hell do you think you are?
Okay, $31 bucks then, Robin. Make it easy for you.
Thank you. 580. Thank you. I can do that. You know what kind of lawyer I was. The only math I'm good at is dividing by three, damn it.
There you go. That's important.
There is not a number on earth I cannot divide by three. And of course, the people who work the other side of the V can divide anything into 6 minutes.
Right. Exactly. Which I'm working on now, actually. By the way,
that's why you're billable, Rick.
There you go. Exactly. Yeah.
Godforsaken billable hours.
No kidding. One day I won't have them. It'll be so fun not to have to worry about billable hours. Maybe I should own a bar or something like that, you know?
I have never known a lawyer who did not want to either own a bar or a restaurant.
Yeah.
And the same goes for doctors. And they are routinely, both of them, doctors and lawyers, are routinely terrible at it.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't run it. It would be my girlfriend Ginger that would run it. So there you go. Yeah, that's her background.
Oh, really?
Stick to law. Yeah, hospitality.
Yeah, billable. Don't quit your day job, honey.
No, exactly. Not for now.
The only bartenders I've ever known were either alcoholics when they bought the bar because they wanted cheap booze, or became alcoholics while they were trying to take care of their business.
So the bar drove them to drink, I assume, huh, Roger?
Well, they either drove them to drink or they were drunks that wanted to get cheap alcohol.
Okay, right. Buy it wholesale and just drink it. Well, you know, as Scarface said, you never consume your own inventory, you know, or at least as he proved the case to be, you know.
Or there's that great line from W.C. Fields, billable. That woman drove me to drink, a fact for which I am eternally grateful. Right up there with, we were in Afghanistan. We had lost our corkscrew. We were forced to live for 2 weeks on nothing but food and water.
Oh, there'll never be another W.C. Fields, just like there'll never be another Scott Marinoff, you know?
Exactly. Congratulations to Randy Radar, who put down earnest money on a house today.
All right.
Happy for you, Randy. I hope the rest of it goes simply and easily.
I hope I never have to do that again.
I was in Boston, Brighton section. I went to a bar to have a drink, and I was carded at age 29.
Must have been a young-looking 29.
It probably was, but later on, the owner became a friend. So it's just an introduction.
How's everybody doing? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hey.
Hey, I put a clip up. Steve sent me yesterday. Scott called in the Washington Journal Christmas Day.
Oh yeah, 2021. Yeah, I played that.
You probably heard it, right, Robin?
Yeah, Kevin, I played that on the air Wednesday.
Oh, you did. Oh, okay, okay. I missed it. Sorry.
That's a kick. Hey, I used Scott's story in my post as well. I referred to his cat who liked to climb Christmas trees and knock over manger figurines. So that was so good. That was so funny.
And the gift mouse.
Oh, I should have thrown the mouse in, but I didn't want to be too irreverent, you know.
Yeah, we got a liquor store here. They card everybody, no matter how old you are.
Same here. I mean, I go down to the Rippy Mart to, you know, buy a bottle of wine or whatever. I get carded.
That's crazy.
Of course, I'm in a place now where I'm really happy. I love getting carded. I whip that license out that says female on it, and I'm like, yes!
I love that Scott Crank called C-SPAN. I don't know who was the host on at that time when he called. Do you know?
I don't know who that. I recognize. I don't know the personalities well enough. That wasn't a prank call. That was just a good morning Christmas call.
Yeah, well, it's kind of like I don't know. All the cranks are the right wingers that call in every day on the Democrat line. I used to be a Democrat, and
I didn't leave the Democrats. The Democrats left me.
Yeah, you're right. Right. Well, he was calling about his Christmas tradition. That's why Scotty called C-SPAN that morning, that Christmas morning.
It was great. That was fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
That tears of joy to my eye.
Yeah. That's almost as good as the thing with KWRP where the flying turkeys and stuff, you know, tape of the flying turkeys. Scotty loved that one too, I know.
Oh, he did.
Yeah.
As God is my witness, I thought turkeys could fly.
There you go.
They were landing like sacks of wet cement.
Oh, the carnage.
Didn't Wes go and see what's it? And the crowd is turning on me or something like that.
Turkeys can fly in California. We've seen them fly out of our yard.
Yeah, wild ones can. But
yeah, they're like chickens.
But the domestic production ones have their wings clipped.
Yeah.
The domestic ones have been bred for big breast meat, and they're too fucking heavy to fly.
Thank you, Roger. We figured you'd know that.
I don't know where I store all these tidbits of useless trivia, but it's in there somewhere.
You never know, they're kind of come in handy.
We all have them anyways.
Yeah.
That's most of my brain.
I remember when Dewey won in 1948.
Oh, my gracious.
Next day, there was a change of the news.
Yeah, and that photo of Harry Truman holding Dewey defeats Truman.
Yeah,
I've seen that splash so many times that it almost seems like I was there, but I don't think I remember it.
I mean, I've seen the pictures, and you can tell, of course, Truman is just smiling and so ecstatic, like, haha, suckers.
Oh, and Brother Deacon Asa wanted me to pass something along to y'all. Tell the brethren if they feel like sticking around, I'll rerun a vintage episode of the program. So the back porch remains open for further conversation. I got to get out of here because I gotta pack a bug out bag for Tennessee tomorrow. And thanks everybody for getting us down to $580. Anybody wants to jump in over the weekend, it should be more than mightily welcome. Thank you so much. Thanks to all of our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thanks, everybody, for joining in the conversation this evening. Thank you to our a la carte contributors. Thank you to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Okay, one more. Lee in New York. Turkeys can fly. They just don't because of the crazy people on the airplane seeing fake people. Yep. And Ralphs sends along, this has to be, oh my DeSantis, you are not looking well once again. NBC News found DeSantis lying about sending help to Davenport, Iowa in the aftermath of the building collapse last month. DeSantis bragged about sending help to the people of Iowa. There was one small but noticeable issue with that. The order to receive help was canceled 10 hours prior to the DeSantis lie. No help was sent. Well, he's a liar, and I'm sure that the brains of the outfit, Casey DeClantis, was probably behind it. Thanks to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. Head on .live. Remember, please like and subscribe, follow, love, whatever the podcast, whatever platform you're taking it on. I will do everything in my power not to screw up the upload again this evening. I sure hope I don't. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia, and a proud union shop. Please stay safe. Wear your mask when you're around maggots. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Use your hand sanitizer. Carry it with you, pocket or purse. I've got a big bottle in the car because I'm going down to Tennessee. And maintain your social distance. And if somebody comes towards you making hand gestures and saying, y'all can stay on this fucking plane and die, but I'm getting off of here. He ain't fucking real. Avoid that Karen on a plane like the plague. Because she is. And always, always, always. Gina, it's all for you. Have a great weekend, everybody. Later.